welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. I'm joined by a special guest today. A special guest who has a Kickstarter that she's going to talk about. But also, we're just going to talk sci-fi. And anyone who listens to this show knows that I love some good sci-fi. So I'd like you to say hello to Holly. Hello, Holly.
Hi, hello.
So, Holly, why should we be listening to you? Who are you? Give us a 30-second, hi, I'm Holly.
Okay. Hello, my name is Holly Rose. I'm a budding writer. I've just graduated from university, and I'm desperately trying to get my feet on the ground in the world of radio writing because I want to be John Finnemore, I think, or maybe Andy Hamilton. I'm not fussed, but as long as I can head down that route that one day I'm a guest on QI, it's all fine.
So is that your ultimate aim, Holly? You want to be on QI and be making pithy remarks?
Yeah, well, no, the ultimate aim is to be the lead writer on Doctor Who, but that might be after QI. Who knows? QI might come first, Doctor Who might come first. Either one is good.
Cool. So, to get you on this path, you have done a Kickstarter. You are going to do a Kickstarter. You are running a Kickstarter at the moment.
Yes.
And it is called Ray Gun and Starburst.
Yeah. Ray and Star and my baby.
So, what is Ray Gun and Starburst?
Ray Gun and Starburst is an audio sci-fi comedy that basically sends up the tropes of classic and pulp science fiction. I love pulp fiction and noir fiction and sci-fi, all the stuff from like the late 50s, early 60s, all that sort of Dan Dare where he rips off his shirt and all that sort of thing all the time. But it's incredibly full. It's just full of stereotypes, and it's kind of this really obvious thing. And I just wanted to go, okay, let's do that, and then put it in like a, you know, in a blender and see what happens. So it's kind of trying to do that, but be funny and to kind of throw people off, and maybe it becomes something they aren't expecting, which
okay.
is interesting, I hope.
So going, are you taking it all the way back to, I mean, we were saying before we started recording that you sound depressingly young compared to the usual people that we have on this show. So are you taking it back to 1930s Flash Gordon serials and
yeah,
things like that?
Definitely.
Are those influences?
Yeah, we even have, like, I'm actually a massive fan of things like The Goon Show and The Navy Lark, Round the Horn, all that sort of early British comedy. And then early British, well, American, sorry, science fiction serials. They were rerunning them on 4Extra a couple of years ago, and I just fell in love with the crazy American dramas. I was like, this is weird and crazy and brilliant. But at the same time, it's like, oh, okay, it's always the damsel in distress, and the hero always runs in and saves her. And, you know, that of the time, but I think we wanted something else now.
So things like, is that things like Time Tunnel and things like that?
Yeah,
or earlier?
Exactly. I genuinely can't remember what it was called. I just remember they had this series on. But the story stuck in my head more than the name, unfortunately. But it's just, how do I describe it? Yeah, the best way to describe it is that the idea of Ray Gun and Starburst, I stuck this narrator on it who talks in that very fast, very posh American accent that they have on the newsreels, like black and white newsreels.
Yeah.
I decided that that was the one thing that would make it stand out as a idea of classic sci-fi and classic radio in general. So like proper old-timey talk radio has those narrators over it where they're like describing exactly what's going on. Kind of like in the black and white movies, you have the cards come up, which are telling you.
Yes.
The narrators in classic talk radio are exactly the same. That's what they do. And so I decided to put that I would use that trope and then destroy it, I think is the best way to put it, because I kicked the fourth wall down and jumped on its grave.
Yeah. Oh, poor fourth wall.
Yes, I did. Well, because my protagonist can interact with the narrator. They can talk to the narrator and correct them. And the narrator doesn't appreciate that very much.
So, you mentioned comics. Does that mean you like Deadpool as well?
This is going to sound really bad. I've never actually read a Deadpool comic in my life, and I would like to apologize to one of my best friends because she loves Deadpool. Like, she cosplays him and everything, and he's her favorite character. And I'm there going, I've never read Deadpool. I've read him in other things, mostly like the X-Men and Spider-Man and stuff, but I've never sat down and read a Deadpool.
All right. It was just with the breaking of the fourth wall. I mean, that's yeah. So that's very interesting. So I remember when I was a youth on Radio 4, they used to do sci-fi serials, and I can't remember what it was called. It wasn't called Earthshock because that was a Doctor Who episode. But it was something to do with ships going out and then coming back, and it was radio drama sci-fi.
Is this? I think I know what you're talking about. Their computer is called an Angel or something.
I've listened to that.
I can't remember what it's called either. Earth Search. It's called
that's
Earth.
It. That's yeah. it. Brilliant. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. I have my digital radio, so next to me, like, 4 Extra is pretty much always on at some point in my house. It's like, yep, there will be 4 Extra on, and I will be listening to stuff from before I was born. So, yeah.
See? So, that was always a big thing for me, was listening to those sorts of things. And is that the sort of, is the Kickstarter aiming to make an ongoing series? Because you see, obviously, Kickstarters, that they're going, especially American ones who want to make Star Trek parodies and things,
yeah.
they're going, this is to make an ongoing series. Is it to make an ongoing series, or are you looking to make a compact, here's what we're going to do? It's more like a radio play, almost.
Well, what the Kickstarter we're doing currently is to make series one, which is 6 episodes, and it's one story, and if it ends there, then it's a complete thing. I have written and have plans for series 2 and 3. If we make enough money on this, then if we make our goal, then we'll look into doing those as well. But the Kickstarter itself is just funding one series that is one story, and even if it goes nowhere after that, which I really hope it does go somewhere after that, it will be something that people can listen to and enjoy as a single thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, What's the basic premise? I mean, you've got Raygun and Starburst. I'm assuming that they're a heroic duo.
They are. Right, well.
okay, Ray heroic.
Yes, sort of. Ray is a 40-something, newly divorced car salesman who basically buys himself a battered old spaceship. Because in my world, in 2005, but everyone has spaceships and lives in space. Because it's a classic sci-fi.
It's the Jetsons.
Yeah, well, it's classic sci-fi. And in classic sci-fi, every point past 2005, everybody had spaceships and lived in space. So I just thought that was quite funny. but yeah, no, he buys basically a second-hand battered old spaceship, and it opens with him getting into a fight in a bar because he's drunk and he's trying to get over his losses, basically. He's having a midlife crisis, this massive midlife crisis. And then he gets rescued from this bar fight, and I use rescued in the loosest possible term. I think more blackmailed into being a getaway driver. It's a better way of describing it. By Starburst, who is this ridiculously rowdy, rebellious teenage girl who, for the love of God, wants to stay under the radar and not get into trouble, but there's something in her that she just can't not. She has to go and help people and be heroic and all these sort of things. But she's got a bit of a, I wouldn't say a bad streak, but she's a bit of a rebel. And yeah, but then there's also, her AI, which is horribly sarcastic and broken and genuinely annoys everybody all the time, but thinks it's better because it's a computer and just continuously tells them they're awful human beings. Which is entertaining, I think. I hope.
I'm Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Marvin is.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Marvin, really.
Yeah, well, I love Marvin as a character, and I hope the suit, which is the AI's name, I hope that the suit is reminiscent of Marvin without being too much like him. I think Marvin is far more down to earth and a bit sort of you know, well, he's obviously depressed. That's what he is. Whereas the suit is more trying to be everybody's annoyed parent, like tries to send them to their room and all that sort of thing. And
all right, okay.
Kind of tell them off, but then, you know, not really succeed because it hasn't got a physical body, a voice that emanates literally from Starburst's spacesuit. And so it can't actually do anything on its own. And that frustrates it, you know, so it's kind of stuck. And it's not meant to be alive. It's an AI that got broken.
Oh, okay.
And then kind of manifested an intelligence through getting broken rather than having been created to be like that.
So if you've got good guys, you must have a bad guy.
Oh, we do. The Castellan. His name is Castellan Lar. And he runs an evil corporation called Darkleys, because I'm subtle. And Darkleys is a bank. Ooh, so subtle. Which is actually a joke given to me by my dad that happened many, many eons ago. He runs this evil corporation and he's trying to take over the galaxy and all that kind of standard bad guy stuff. But at the same time, you know, all he really wants to do is bake cream puffs and he likes bear claws. He's a big pastry fan. I think he really would be happier if he just opened a bakery somewhere. But, you know, he can't. He wants to run the galaxy, so, you know. Swings and roundabouts.
And why the decision to make a radio drama rather than... video.
Because as much as we are having to raise a substantial amount of money to fund it because of studio costs and people getting to the right places at the right time and travel expenses, blah, blah, blah. We can do a 6-episode series in space with space battles and with all these amazing planets and scenery and everything for like 1% of the budget it would cost to do that. Well, on video, we can create worlds that you beyond what you could imagine by just putting a sound effect in. You know, I put a sound effect of someone walking down a metal corridor and some bleeping and a bit of kind of engine whirring, and you automatically know we're on a spaceship. You know that's where we are. And then, you know, I put the sound effect of a, you know, some jungle noises, a bit of wind, and we're on some strange planet where, you know, who knows what could come out of the forest. You can do so much more with like sound than you can do with a minimal budget for video. I think, and a lot of people underestimate what audio does. You can, you know, the human imagination is so big that you give it one sound effect and one, you know, throwaway line in the dialogue, and it will create these incredible worlds. And you can do that, you know, for a tiny percentage of everything else, which is great. I think you can do so much more. I mean, there's also the fact that I grew up on Radio 4 and I've always wanted to write radio. Like, I love radio as a medium, and I think it sucks that more people don't listen to radio dramas or radio comedy or even just podcasts and stuff. I think, you know, people underestimate that because we've got so many things. We've got so much TV and video games and movies. Sorry. That people... forget what they can do with just sound.
You've sold me.
Sorry, I'm very passionate about this.
No. I think it's brilliant. I mean, I've backed the Kickstarter. I mean,
yes, you know, thank you very much.
It's all right. I think it sounds absolutely brilliant. I mean, it plays to everything that I love. I mean, I love science fiction. I love all the things that you've just talked about. I mean, I didn't listen to them because I was born then, but you know, I listened to all of that stuff, and you know, I grew up on Doctor Who, and I never got into the audio dramas of Doctor Who, the later stuff when it was away, because that was when I was at university and things, and I wasn't doing that sort of stuff. But since then, I've sort of gone back to it. And you know, we were talking before we started recording. If you go to the Kickstarter page, then you can see the Ray Gun and Starburst Kickstarter page, and you can see the logo. And I was saying to Holly that the logo reminds me of Blake Seven's logo. and I loved Blake Seven, and I still love Blake Seven. And every time, you know, if I hear the Blake Seven music or I see a clip on YouTube or stuff, I say to my wife, "Oh, look, look, it's Blake Seven," and she just gives me that look and goes, "You're so sad."
But that is that theme tune. It's the do 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 do. It's just, oh, that's great. You're just like, oh, this is amazing. This is going to be brilliant. Whatever this is, like the Reagan and Starless theme, like is.
Mm.
Which was, again, done by one... We have a very talented cast. Like, one of our cast members did all the designs for us, and one of them is doing all the production. So we're kind of, you know, we're a little, very compact family. And Dave, who actually plays the suit, did this amazing theme for us. And when I heard it, I was just like, it's just like the Blake Seven theme, except, like, with the rock guitar in the background. And I was so happy. Like, when I heard it, I was just like, this is exactly what I want.
Well, I was going to ask you... I was going to ask you about your cast, because you've cast, everyone's cast, you've got all your parts. I mean, you're ready to go, basically,
yes,
aren't you?
Yes, we're completely ready to go. Yeah.
So how did you go about the casting process? I mean, the reason, I mean, I should be clear. The reason you and I are talking is because one of your cast members is Dom, who a lot of the people listening to this show will know. He's a game player. I've known him for a few years now on another podcast that I used to do. He was the voice of the intro, and for 102 episodes or something,
yeah.
The first thing you heard was Dom's dulcet tones. So that's what I mean. That's why we're talking, because he put us together. But yeah. how did you cast Dom? And Dom is Ray Gunn. We should
yes,
say
yes, he is. He's Ray.
So I mean,
well, actually, this sounds really odd, but Ray was basically written for him. When I wrote the first episode, not thinking, I wrote the first episode as my final project in writing for broadcast at university. And I just kind of, you know, I wrote it and I really fell in love with it. And then my tutor, who is amazing, and thank you so much to her for giving me the opportunity, she helped me record it. And the cast, which is actually the pilot episode that you can listen to on the Kickstarter, the cast in that is a cast of students. And they were brilliant for doing it for free and everything. And I was just like, I have to do more of this. There is so much more I can do with this. And so I started writing episode 2. And me and Dom were talking about actually a cosplay group we were doing together. And I was just like, no, he is Ray. Dom is Ray. And then I just kind of was like, that's it. I wrote it pretty much for him after that. Like, I don't think I could hear the lines without them being him. Which is great, because it's really nice to be able to write to somebody you know really well.
Yeah. Yeah, and then did you do a casting call for everyone else? Or
yeah,
again,
just,
are they people that you know?
Ian, who plays the Castellan, is my best friend. And again, it was pretty much written for him. Again, not intentionally to start with, but then as I kind of started thinking about casting, I was like, yeah, no, I have done that. Oops. Everybody else, however, was... I did do open auditions, and I opened all the characters up. Despite knowing that those two were people I wanted to cast, I felt it was fairer to open up auditions completely to all the characters and hear if anybody else had something I wasn't expecting, you know. As it is, they did do the best job, and they got cast. But everybody else was completely open auditions. I did know them some of them beforehand, because, you know, friends auditioned.
Yeah.
But I will be completely hand on heart honest that I listened to them all pretty much blind, like removed all the names off them and picked which ones I thought were best. And that's what we got at the end of the day. I just went with who I thought could do the best job for each part. And I'm very lucky to have Amy and Rich, who both auditioned for several parts. And through that made me realise that they would just be brilliant at doing all these other voices. Because, you know, you can't cast a million people to be all the characters you need. But to have two people who are so diverse in their voices means that we can just have all these brilliant characters in the background, or just, you know, or a main character is only one in for one episode or something. And they, you know... They blew me away with that. And then, like, Alison, who's playing the narrator, when I wrote the narrator, I'd always kind of thought it would be a guy, because that's what the narrators were in classic radio and in classic cinema and stuff.
Yep.
And then Alison auditioned, and it was just, no, that's perfect. This is brilliant. And I was so not expecting it. And yet, and so we came up with something that just was completely different, and that was great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like it. I've listened to the pilot. It made me laugh out loud a few times.
Oh, that's great. That's what I like to hear.
And what I was thinking of doing is that after we finish this episode, if you don't mind, that we'll put the pilot in with this episode as well.
That's absolutely fine. Yeah.
So that people who are listening to this, if they want to, can listen to the pilot as well.
Yeah, no, that would be great. I think there'll probably be quite a lot of people who might be a little unsure, but if they can listen to it, they might change their minds.
I think so. I mean, it's something that I do think that we need more of. I mean, I think you're exactly right what you were saying about the power of radio and the power of voice.
Oh yeah, totally. I think people can do huge amounts more with that than anybody really realizes. I think most recently John Finnemore has kind of come out of the woodwork on Radio 4 over the last few years with Cabin Pressure, and that just, and I'm going to say, because I think as much as John is an amazing writer and I think it would have been popular anyway, having Benedict Cumberbatch in it probably helped quite a lot. But it is one of the like breakaway series, especially radio series of the last few years. And I think it showed people what you can do with radio, because then you see the success of things like Welcome to Night Vale and The Thrilling Adventure Hour. And I think a lot of people have realized that there is more to podcasting and there is more to radio than they ever really thought. It's not just people, you know, sitting in a dusty room reading copies of Shakespeare to each other. Not that I don't love Shakespeare, I do, but you know, I think a lot of people kind of got turned off by things like that because of movies and TV. And then they went, wait, you know, we can do like crazy things where there's this town with all this crazy stuff and, you know, ghosts and figures and things you could never do on screen, because how do you do something like Welcome to Night Vale on TV? It doesn't work, but it works on radio.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that I Big Finish Doctor Who, which we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
They've really used their advantage. There's a wonderful villain created by Big Finish Doctor who is a sound lord, who is completely made of sound. How do you do that on screen? You can't. You can't show something that's completely made of sound on screen, but you can do it on radio. And you can create something really scary and really, really like terrifying, because how can you fight against something that is all around you? Sound is everywhere. You know, and I think that's it. It shows that you can do so much more than anybody ever expects.
Yeah, I'm nodding along with you, but of course that doesn't help anyone who's listening. So the other thing I think that I really like about it is surely this is what Kickstarter is for.
Well, rather I would hope so, yeah.
Rather than yet another company going, aha, look, we'll do a new product and we'll pre-sell it so that we take no risk. I mean, this is the sort of project that should be getting funded and should have people investing, because it's helping, you know, entrepreneurs and creative types get things done that otherwise are just going to, you know, languish in drawers or whatever.
I would say a lot of our cast are quite young, similar age to me. I won't say how old I am.
Hate them already.
Yeah.
Hate them already.
I mean, they're not all, but I think it's, you know, it's a really good step for getting young creatives onto a path that they want to follow, you know. Damien, who is our producer, runs his own web series already. And when I asked him to come on the project, he was just really excited because it was another chance for him to work on something that, you know, would be something different to, you know, having to, kind of push for space in a world where, like, so many people come out of university with a degree and all this sort of stuff. Whereas I think creatives, we have to build our own space. We're not, you know, we're not pushing for it. We physically have to build it from the ground up, because nobody advertises for writers. Nobody advertises for, you know, someone to come along and write a brand new sci-fi series. That doesn't happen. You have to go, I'm going to write a brand new sci-fi series and hopefully people will like it. And if they don't, I'll write something else. And that's what I think Kickstarter is for, and that's why I wanted to do this like that.
Fantastic. So we're out of time. Well, we're so far over time that it's silly. But we do have to settle one thing. Your favourite Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Who is it?
You can't have a favourite because they're all the Doctor. Why would you have a favourite when they're all the same person?
Oh, that's now there. That is a dodging the question.
I'm sorry. No, that is the answer that a true Doctor Who fan should give, because how can you choose your favourite?
And on that, Holly, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure having
this
chat.
Thank you so much. I've loved it.
And I've been Mike. She's been Holly. And we'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter. We're at @fools_daily. Or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.
What did you just say? Look, there's obviously been some crossing of wires, a misunderstanding.
Are you saying I misunderstood?
Yes.
Are you saying I'm stupid?
No.
The year is 2005, 40 years after the first moon landing, and humanity has spread to the stars. The Jameson Car and Rocket Company has spent the last 20 of those years cornering the off-world travel market, creating widespread human colonies across the galactic map for low, low prices. However, not all is well in this brave new world.
Hey, big guy.
Me?
Yeah. Was that really your explanation of what's going on?
Well,
doesn't really explain my situation, does it?
Would you like to narrate?
Sure. It's my story, after all.
Fine. All yours. Not like I'm, professional or just, it's fine.
It is, in fact, December 2004 when all this started. That was when my wife left me.
I'm done, Ray.
What do you mean, done? How can we be done? We're married.
Not as of now. The judge will have just ruled in favour of my divorce claim, especially seeing as how you never turned up. Taxi!
How can I turn up for something that I'm unaware is happening?
Not my problem. I'm upgrading my life and my husband. Take me to Heathrow Spaceport.
What does that even mean?
I moved in with Jason Lightyear 3 weeks ago, and you were too wrapped up in your spaceship's stupid hyperdrive to realise. Goodbye, Ray. Look for me in the gossip columns. I'm moving into the fast lane.
And she was gone. The only woman I'd ever loved. Well, that's not strictly true, but it's just more dramatic that way. Not that I needed drama at that particular moment. My life had turned upside down in the space of 45 minutes. What does a guy do in a situation like that? Buy the best-looking second-hand spaceship he can afford and launch headlong into his midlife crisis. And that leads me to this moment. The moment I said...
Christ, what a loser.
What did you just say?
Which I guess brings everyone up to speed.
Yes, very good. Still, a little sloppy on your technique, though. Could do with a little, vocal training.
Whatever you say, mate. Still got it all out there, didn't I?
Yeah. But what happens next?
See, you're interested now. Well, I guess lying on my back in a seedy bar wasn't exactly my idea of an adventure, but it fits the midlife crisis stereotype. If only I'd known, I'd have stayed lying down.
You need a hand, or are you just going to lie there pretending to be unconscious?
Oh, thanks.
This is the guy. The one who took out the Red Cluster gang.
What are you doing?
Just go with it. Trust me. What's your name, mate?
Raymond. Raymond Gunn.
Raymond Gunn. Ray Gunn. That's a pretty good name for a hero. Don't even have to think one up for you. Ray Gunn. Ray Gunn.
That's the moment all the trouble began. That is when I met Starburst.
So, these people, they thought you were a hero?
Yeah, all thanks to Starburst. They thought I had taken on the Red Cluster gang. That thug in the bar was one of them, been causing trouble for months.
Hang on. Hang on a second. Ray Gunn? That's what she called you, Ray Gunn? Ray Gunn and Starburst? You guys are big-time heroes. You're kidding me. This is your origin story? It's a bit lame.
Hey, all I can tell is the truth. And the truth isn't always glitzy and glamour, okay? Anyway, you're the narrator. Aren't you meant to know all this?
I just get paid to read. And I do it much better than you do. If I do say so myself.
Right. Shall I continue? Because this is where it starts to get good.
What are you doing? I didn't do any of that. Hey, you lot, that wasn't me.
Shut up!
Seriously?
If you don't shut up, I'll hand you over to the Red Cluster gang right now.
Well, I think you should both quiet down.
Oh, leave off, you stupid AI. Ray, move.
But it wasn't me. I'll just tell them that... Did your spacesuit just speak?
That's not important.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'll turn you off if you don't pipe down.
The frag is going on!
Oh, for goodness sake! Will you just do as you're told? Both of you!
Aren't you in a bad mood today?
I ask again, what the hell is going on? Wait. It was you. You did it!
Well done. And now I'm using you as a cover, yes? You've got a spaceship, right? Of course you do. No transports come near a debris dump like this.
Excuse me?
A spaceship. So we can get off this stupid rock and not have our heads kicked in. I'm starting to think I should have left you and stolen a ship.
Charming, isn't she? Ow, do you mind?
So not only are you sticking the blame on me, you seriously think I'm going to take you with me? You actually are insane, aren't you?
What did I just say about handing you over? I want to get off this rock. And now, so do you.
Look, you...
Don't interrupt when I'm explaining things.
You sound just like your father.
I need a ship. You have a ship and a reason to take me with you. No, I will not explain why I need this. Just that if anyone knew it was me, both of us would be in a lot of trouble. Understand? And don't you want to be a hero? Better than being a drunk on the floor of a bar.
She was right. Being a hero was better than being a drunk with no purpose in life. No house, no marriage, no money. All I had to my name was a falling apart spaceship and, well, my name. Ray Gunn. What's your name?
My name? Oh, it's...
That's an easy one. It's...
Starburst! My name's Starburst.
Starburst? Hmm?
What?
Well, it's just... That's a pretty good name for a hero.
So, that's how you became a hero. I thought you said this was going to get good.
It is. Trust me.
I still don't get why she needed you. And why did you say yes?
Now you're jumping ahead. And wouldn't you say yes to a girl with a pretty smile who just wanted to see the stars and would leave you to die if you said no?
You make a valid point.
Indeed.
So go on then, what happens next?
Ha! So you do think I'm doing a good job at narrating. I knew it.
Yes, well, it's nice to have someone else tell the story for once, even if they're not a professional. I'd hate to break your stride.
Of course.
Ray.
Okay, okay. I'll get on with it.
Wow. What a piece of junk.
Have you seen your bedroom?
Don't insult my ship unless you want to get off right now.
Sorry, Captain.
Don't take it personally. She's always like this. Ow, for my circuit's sake, will you stop hitting me?
Be quiet and I will. Ray, look, the cluster gang.
Frag! Are they looking for us?
No, they're looking for a parking space. Of course they're looking for us!
The engine's not charging!
What?
Typical.
Well, it is. Just really slowly. It's not meant to be in this model ship. I was just tinkering, trying to get it to have a bit more power.
Not important right now. Do you have a blaster?
What?
A blaster. A gun. A cricket bat. Anything I can use to keep them at bay?
Maybe in the back. I don't know. I've only owned it 3 days.
I never want to see what you are capable of.
Flag! Flag! Can't even flag! Flag! Oh, help! I'm a flag! Ow! Jesus!
Oh, that worked! Well, I'll be damned!
Ray, don't take this the wrong way, but I kind of like the comic book version better.
What? Really? All that shirt ripping, fist fights, and saving damsels in distress? I've always found that a bit archaic.
It's much more fun to narrate. You never thought about that, did you?
You're not narrating, so it doesn't matter.
Stuck-up amateur.
Oh, pipe down. Oh, pipe down. You're ruining it.
Ruining it? Indeed.
Starburst? Starburst? Starburst! 3 hours. 3 hours, Ray. How would you let her run around on her own for 3 hours? She could have done anything. You're such a moron. Starburst!
Ray? Can you hear me?
Yes. Where are you? Did you get the internal radio to work?
The engine room. And yes, seems stupid to have a broken one. Does it sound okay? She's been a very busy girl.
Yeah. And the return?
Pretty good. Nice and clear, I'd say.
So, you can fix stuff like that. That's actually kind of helpful. Wait a second. Engine room. What?
Yeah. Well, since you were having such trouble with it earlier, I thought I'd have a look. Well, I more thought I'd make sure we didn't fall out of the sky. I'm actually kind of helpful.
Can you not?
Can I not what? You seemed pretty up for me and my fixing a minute ago.
Yes, but that engine, just don't touch.
Aw, is it your baby? Am I hurting your masculinity?
She sounds like quite a handful.
You have no idea.
One would assume. I'm going to find out.
I almost feel sorry for you. Starburst, stop touching my ship!
I stopped ages ago.
How did you... What? You know what? We're going to have a talk about this.
About what?
You! Your little stunt back there. You basically forced me to take you on board, made me into some hero, put one of the most notorious gangs in the galaxy on my tail, and now you're playing nice? No, I don't buy it. What's your game? And what the frag is wrong with your spacesuit?
Finally, he asks. I needed a way out. Maybe I was in a little trouble down there already, and you starting that fight, it was just a perfect cover. No one saw me finish it. They were all too scared. And there you were, just lying in the middle of the floor. The perfect scapegoat. No more than that. The perfect getaway driver.
But why get involved in the first place? It's not like they punched you. Whatever trouble you're in, surely there was a better way out than this.
No, there wasn't. Look, I'm sorry I got you involved. But you are... And, you know, Raygun is a pretty good name for a hero. So why not?
I guess.
Excuse me. You are so needy. The suit is an AI. Artificial intelligence. It's called SUIT. Survival Utility Intelligence Technology. And it's broken.
Broken? Why, you ungrateful...
Yes, broken. Must have got damaged on my way out of... Oh, never mind. That's not important.
You are trying to keep a low profile, aren't you? Ow! Again with the hitting.
I am so going to fix you the first chance I can find. I could fix this wreck up too, you know, Ray. I know my way around a spaceship.
As long as you don't touch the engine.
Promise.
Ray Gunn and Starburst. They're hero names if I ever heard any. So, you can fix this whole thing up?
Oh, yes, Captain. I can fix her up.
And now you know everything. Well, the beginning of everything, anyway.
You mean there's more?
Of course there's more. There's always more. Don't think that was the end of it. Like you said, it's an origin story, even if it's not a very good one. And origin stories always have a villain.
Sire?
Come. Dave, is it?
No, Dave's dead. I'm Steve, sire.
Ah, of course. Same clone batch. I must get them barcoded. Now tell me why you are disturbing my bedtime routine.
I have news.
News? News of actual importance? Or just something your tiny little mind can't comprehend? Oh, I don't care. Just spit it out so I can have my cocoa in peace.
The Red Cluster Gang, from Sector 3. Well, they got taken out.
Taken out? What do you mean, taken out? For dinner? A movie? Explain yourself!
Some guy, he just turned on them. Not scared at all. They reckoned he was a hero.
A hero? Heroes aren't real. They only exist in films like those ludicrous Jason Lightyear ones, which, I should remind you, I control. So how could he be a hero?
I don't know, sire. But he was. Had a hero name and everything.
A name? How very impressive. Had a hero name and... Oh, go on. Tell me, what was his name?
Ray Gunn, sire. Ray Gunn.
Oh my, a real hero. This I have to see. Ready, my ship? I have a meeting with Ray Gunn.